It's Thursday, the 30th of July, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'm in Flagstaff today, bringing you news from our military news websites, as well as our Veterans Service Organization websites and publication, and also the Veterans Administration. News of interest to our veterans community here in Arizona. We're going to start with Stripes.com, the official website of the Stars and Stripes newspaper, and we have this headline, Joint Base Charleston to be renamed for the late Senator Lindsey Graham. This is by Matthew Adams from Stars and Stripes from the 28th of July. Air Force Secretary Troy Menk signed a memo on Monday initiating the steps to rename Joint Base Charleston after Air Force veteran and late Senator Lindsey Graham, an Air Force official confirmed. The official who spoke on the condition of anonymity could not provide additional information beyond what's being reported. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt posted on X Tuesday that the base will be renamed for Graham. Leavitt did not provide additional information in her post. She linked to a story from the Post and Courier based in Charleston, South Carolina, which cited an internal Air Force memo it received. In the memo, dated July 27th, Menk ordered staff to begin work with Air Mobility Command and Joint Base Charleston leadership to take all necessary and appropriate actions to begin converting the name of the East Coast Air Base to Joint Base Lindsey Graham. Senator Graham's lifelong devotion to the military was shaped by his own military service and his public service in both the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives, Menk wrote. His steadfast advocacy was instrumental in modernizing our military infrastructure and enhancing aviation security, ensuring that Joint Base Charleston remains as one of America's premier military installations. The Pentagon referred questions to the Air Force. World officials and U.S. politicians gathered in Washington on Tuesday for services to mourn Graham, who died on July 11th, just 2 days after turning 71. Graham's memorials began at the U.S. Capitol. His remains were carried into the U.S. Capitol by an Armed Forces body bearer team in tribute to his 3 decades of service in the Air Force. A funeral service followed in the afternoon at Washington National Cathedral. Graham, who spent more than 3 decades representing South Carolina in both congressional chambers, was a leading Republican Party voice for a more active U.S. role in global affairs, often backing the use of the military overseas. Native South Carolinian, Graham served for 33 years in the Air Force and Air Force Reserve, including active duty service in Germany as an Air Force lawyer, according to a biography on his office's website. He retired from the Air Force Reserve in 2015 as a colonel. Graham was first elected to the House of Representatives in 1994 and to the Senate in 2002. He was reelected in 2008, 2014, and 2020. Senator Dave McCormick, Republican of Pennsylvania, voiced his support for the renaming in a social media post. Lindsey Graham has devoted his life to serving our nation, McCormick, an Army veteran, wrote on X. Renaming Joint Base Charleston in his honor is a fitting tribute to his patriotism, his service, and his unwavering support for America's military. At least one fellow politician pushed back on the announcement of South Carolina State Senator Ed Sutton, a Democrat from Charleston, called for a pause. Senator Graham was a major asset to South Carolina's military community, but renaming Joint Base Charleston this fast feels like another rushed decision with no local input, Sutton said in a post on X. Charleston Air Force Base has carried that name since the 1940s. Honor him, yes. Erase local tradition by fiat, no. Joint Base Charleston receives installation support from the Air Force's 628th Air Base Wing and hosts more than 60 Defense Department and federal agencies, according to the base's biography. It's widely known as the site of the nation's largest fleet of C-17 cargo jets. It is home to 2 primary flying units, the active duty 437th Airlift Wing and the Air Force Reserve's 315th Airlift Wing. And that's Joint Base Charleston to be renamed for the late Senator Lindsey Graham. Our next item, Hospitals on Wheels to Start Serving Rural Veterans. This is by Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes from the 27th of July. Fully mobile, hospital units on wheels will soon start rolling into the nation's rural and remote communities to make healthcare more accessible for sick, injured, and older veterans who struggle to access the critical services they need close to home. Called Go Hospital, the vans come equipped with state-of-the-art diagnostic tools as well as technology linking clinicians inside the vehicles with doctors who can read test results and evaluate patients. According to Auto MediX, a Virginia-based private company that developed the technology, a mobile Go Hospital designed to bring hospital-grade care to remote communities and even to the sites of natural disasters will be introduced at the 20th annual IDGA Veterans Healthcare Summit, which is scheduled this week at National Harbor in Maryland, just south of Washington, D.C. The yearly conference brings together leaders from the Department of Veterans Affairs, Defense Health Agency, Military Medicine, and private health companies to discuss the delivery of medical care for veterans. Several Go Hospital vehicles are expected to be deployed in late 2026 and in January 2027. Auto MediX said, the company did not disclose further details about the rollout. Whether a Go Hospital van travels to a veteran's post or parks in a patient's driveway, its technology will bring specialized diagnostic tools and services that currently are unavailable outside of bricks and mortar medical facilities, according to Auto MediX. James L. McCormick II, a retired Army captain who lives in rural West Virginia, said he'd welcome a shorter commute time from his hometown to access the high level of care he receives at a VA hospital. My nearest VA medical center is an hour and 45 minutes away on a perfect day, but usually it's a two-hour drive one way, contributing to a 6.5 to 7-hour day for an appointment with labs, said McCormick, the executive director for government affairs at Vietnam Veterans of America. Anything that brings reliable and functional assistance to our veterans in rural America should be something everyone can support, McCormick said. Go Hospital is an arm of Planned Systems International, which describes itself as an enterprise IT solutions and management consulting firm that serves the VA and the military. The mobile hospital-style units are part of a larger initiative funded and advanced by the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, or ARPA-H, a four-year-old agency within the Department of Health and Human Services that focuses on improving healthcare access and solutions. The goal is to deliver real-world breakthroughs in years instead of decades, according to ARPA-H. Other ARPA-H projects include funding novel medical approaches to repair damaged brain tissue and restore functions for veterans with traumatic brain injuries and investigating ibogaine, a psychoactive plant compound, as a potential treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder and other mental illnesses in veterans. Go Hospital, described as a mobile care delivery platform, is designed as an integrated system and not simply a vehicle with medical equipment. It is capable of supporting a range of services in rural and underserved settings, Auto MediX said. The hospital on wheels will carry advanced diagnostic and treatment tools such as mini CT scanners, ultrasound equipment, and chemotherapy infusion capabilities, enabling patients to avoid long-distance travel. Some of the vans will have the medical tools necessary to respond to big disasters, and others may be equipped to function in active combat zones, according to Auto MediX. Rural medical offices that plan to use Go Hospital vehicles include Huntsman Cancer Institute in Utah, which will deploy a van equipped as a hospital-level cancer care unit. Go Hospital will begin rolling into remote and rural Utah communities in December, according to developers. Teresa Werner, A medical oncologist and deputy director at Huntsman Cancer Institute said that the van will provide infusion services, injections, and exams for rural patients who often must drive hours for their life-saving care. McCormick recalled his own father's experience as a Vietnam veteran who did not live within an easy drive to a VA medical facility. My father, James McCormick Sr., a two-time Vietnam combat infantry soldier who was wounded twice in Vietnam, did not go to the VA much due to the driving distance and his work schedule, McCormick said. At age 52, his father finally sought care from the VA hospital in Huntington, West Virginia in February 2000 after experiencing persistent health problems that did not subside. He was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and passed away on September 2, 2000, McCormick said. My feelings on healthcare are deep and personal. If it's community care, a van that hits the rural areas, or a joint VA and local hospital collaboration, we better figure it out, McCormick said. Many great veterans are passing away from issues that could be addressed with better access to basic and advanced healthcare services. And that's Hospital on Wheels to start serving rural veterans. Our next item is from MilitaryTimes.com by Patricia Keim. Suicidal ideation rises among veterans, but attempts remain stable, study finds. This is from the 27th of July. Just as a note from their editor, this report contains discussion of suicide. Troops, veterans, and family members experiencing suicidal thoughts can call the 24-hour Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988 and dial 1, or text 838-255, or you can visit Veterans Crisis Line, all one word, veteranscrisisline.net. To our article. Suicidal thoughts among U.S. veterans have risen nearly 50% in the past 5 years, but the frequency of suicide planning and attempts remained relatively stable, according to a new study based on a survey of 2,636 veterans. Researchers from the Department of Veterans Affairs National Center for PTSD and the Yale School of Medicine analyzed data from the 2025-26 National Health and Resilience in Veterans study and found that 13.4% of veterans reported suicidal thoughts in the previous 2 weeks, compared with 9% in the 2019-2020 survey. The analysis found that rates of suicide planning and attempts remained unchanged in the same time frame, but for certain groups, particularly younger veterans and women, rates were higher for thoughts, planning, and attempts over the 5 years. Ian Fisher, the study's lead author and a clinical psychologist at the VA, Connecticut Healthcare System, said, "The research was needed to understand the changing veteran population and potential shifts in suicide thoughts and behaviors that can drive suicide prevention efforts. The veteran population has become younger, and there have been increases in the proportion of women veterans and shifts in its racial and ethnic composition over the past 5 years, making it essential to monitor changes in suicidal thoughts and behaviors and identify the veterans who may benefit most from prevention and early intervention," Fisher said Tuesday in a Yale press release. More than 6,000 veterans have died each year by suicide since 2001. In 2024, the most recent year for accurate nationwide data, 6,398 veterans died by suicide. Veteran ages 18 to 34 and those experiencing homelessness or health issues were at higher risk. According to the VA, the suicide rates among veterans are 60% higher than the national average, with suicide the second leading cause of death among veterans under age 45. The VA has invested millions in suicide prevention and teamed with community partners, providing grants and support to address suicide among former service members. It recently has focused on encouraging veterans to enroll in VA medical services, citing evidence that patients who receive health care at the VA have lower rates of suicide and suicide attempts. The study, published July 20th in JAMA VO Network Open showed that veterans who use the VA for primary health care were twice as likely to have received mental health treatment at some point in their lives. More than half of those who said they used VA health care services were actively enrolled in mental health care. The survey also found that fewer than 37% of veterans who reported having suicidal thoughts in the previous 2 weeks were receiving mental health care. These findings suggest that the VA is playing an important role in connecting veterans at elevated suicide risk with mental health care, said Brandon Nichter, a visiting scholar in Yale's Department of Psychiatry and study co-author, in a release. At the same time, many veterans with recent suicidal thoughts are still not engaged in treatment. Expanding outreach and reducing barriers to care across both VA and community health systems will be essential to reaching these individuals, Nichter said. According to the study, younger veterans remain at higher risk for suicide, possibly because post-9/11 veterans experienced elevated trauma exposure during wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Researchers noted that service era comparisons are complicated by generational differences and survivorship bias, meaning older veterans may appear less likely to experience suicide behavior because younger veterans at higher risk are less likely to survive into old age. According to the survey, women veterans had higher odds of suicide planning and attempts, while VA national data shows that male veterans die by suicide at higher rates. Risk factors for suicide attempts include major depression, alcohol use, and adverse childhood experiences that preceded military service. According to the study, and risk factors for suicidal thoughts and planning included PTSD, major depressive disorder, and adverse childhood experiences. The authors cautioned that the study relied on self-reported data, and veterans may have been reluctant to disclose suicidal thoughts or attempts. Those surveyed also were a recruited group and did not include incarcerated or institutionalized veterans or other unique veteran subsets, meaning the sample was not fully representative of the U.S. veteran population. Based on the survey results, researchers estimated that between 2.3 million and 2.4 million of the nation's roughly 16 million veterans experienced suicidal thoughts within the study's measured time frame. They also estimated that about 1.4 million veterans had planned suicide at some point and around 830,000 had attempted during their lifetimes. The researchers said they hoped information contained in the study will be used for improving prevention efforts, intervention, and treatment. Targeting key risk factors and vulnerable subpopulations may help mitigate suicide risk, they wrote. And that suicidal ideation rises among veterans, but attempts remain stable, study finds. We'll follow up with another article from MilitaryTimes.com, this by Natalie Olivario, from the 23rd of July. In a suicide crisis, eligible veterans can go to any ER for free. Nearly 50,000 already have. The Compact Act allows eligible veterans and certain former service members to receive Veterans Affairs-funded emergency suicide crisis care at VA and community hospitals, even if they aren't enrolled in VA healthcare. New data obtained by Military Times show 49,341 veterans have used the benefit since 2023. But veteran advocates and suicide prevention professionals say many eligible veterans still don't realize it exists until they experience a crisis. In 2025, retired Navy Master Chief David Hull's life unraveled after he lost his job during the government shutdown. The transition from military service had been difficult, but he had rebuilt his life. Then, when his paycheck disappeared, so did his ability to provide for his 3 children. "I didn't always consider taking my own life," Hull said. "It wasn't until I felt like I had no one and nowhere to go." It's easy to sink into feeling nothingness when you can't see your value anymore, or you become disconnected from your purpose, he said. After putting his children to bed one night, Hull searched online for combinations of pills that promised an easier way to end his life. As he poured medication into a single bottle, he accidentally knocked the empty container onto the floor. His 6-year-old daughter picked it up. She looked at me with her big brown eyes, Hull recalled, his voice breaking. It cracked me wide open. Hull left his children with a neighbor and drove to Garrett Regional Medical Center, a community hospital in Oakland, Maryland. He wasn't enrolled in VA health care. He didn't have health insurance. Until that night, he'd never heard of the Compact Act or that eligible veterans could receive VA-funded emergency suicide crisis care at a community hospital. I just needed someone to help clear my head, get me straight again, Hull said. I was circling the drain, on the precipice of having no home, no food, no money, and no job, with a promise of a better tomorrow. Nothing. About 40 minutes after arriving, Hull was evaluated by an emergency physician who assured him he would be taken care of. A hospital social worker then explained that the Department of Veterans Affairs would cover the cost of his emergency treatment and follow-up care. I was shocked to find out that I could be seen for free after they identified me as a veteran, Hull said. In 2020, Congress signed the Compact Act Emergency Suicide Crisis Benefit into law to remove financial and administrative barriers to emergency suicide crisis care. 3 years later, it was implemented by the VA, but many eligible veterans remain unaware of the benefit until they need it. Veteran advocates and suicide prevention professionals told Military Times, a lifeline beyond VA's doors. The Emergency Suicide Crisis Benefit was established under the Commander John Scott Hannon Veterans Mental Health Care Act Improvement Act, or Compact Act. Coverage includes emergency evaluation, treatment, inpatient or crisis residential care when clinically appropriate, and up to 90 days of outpatient follow-up care. According to data provided by VA, nearly 50,000 veterans have received emergency suicide crisis benefit since fiscal 2023, including just over 10,000 in fiscal 2023. 14,666 received the benefit in fiscal 2024, 15,218 in fiscal 2025, and 9,434 during the first half of fiscal 2026. The number of veterans receiving the Compact Act's Emergency Suicide Crisis Benefit has grown steadily since its inception in FY23, VA Press Secretary Quinn Slavin said. VA spent a record of nearly $110 million on acute suicide crisis care during fiscal 2025. Slavin said VA reviews eligible cases to ensure veterans receive the benefit, educates veterans and community emergency department staff about its availability, and works with providers so eligible veterans do not receive unexpected medical bills after crisis care. According to VA, 72% of veterans who've used the benefit have since enrolled in VA healthcare. Misconceptions persist. Despite growing use of the benefit, the Disabled American Veterans, or DAV, organization says many eligible veterans still misunderstand who qualifies for emergency suicide crisis care. DAV believes awareness of the safety net created by the Compact Act remains lower than it should be, John Retzer, DAV's National Legislative Director, said. Retzer said DAV service officers routinely meet veterans who believe they must already be enrolled in VA health care, have a service-connected disability rating, or seek treatment at a VA medical center before the benefit applies. Many veterans remain uncertain whether an emergency room visit will generate medical debt or whether VA will ultimately cover the care, Retzer said. That uncertainty can discourage veterans from seeking treatment during a crisis when immediate intervention is critical. Retzer urged veterans experiencing a suicidal crisis to seek emergency care first and allow VA to determine eligibility afterward. Army Reserve Prevention Integrator David Arthur said, those same misconceptions continue to surface in his work, particularly among older veterans. He said distance from a VA medical center can create uncertainty because many rural veterans live an hour or more away, while nearby outpatient clinics do not provide emergency services. When they're in a crisis, in my experience with suicidal soldiers and vets, they're not even thinking about that, Arthur said. But those thoughts are huge barriers, especially the cost. I want every vet to know they can go to any ER or hospital, Arthur continued. Returning to care. Hull completed the full 90 days of follow-up care available through the benefit before enrolling in VA health care. I don't know if I could have afforded the treatment I received after that night without the VA, Hull said. And I don't know that I'd be enrolled with VA now without the care I experienced. I wish so many of my brothers and sisters knew that this was an option, Hill said. Doesn't matter if you have insurance. It doesn't matter if you're a patient in the VA system. None of that matters. There are no strings attached. No barriers to being seen. This is a gift that every veteran needs to know they're eligible for. And again, they have the cautionary note that veterans and troops and family members experiencing suicidal thoughts can call the 24-hour suicide and crisis lifeline 911 and then dial 1. Text 838-255 or you can visit veteranscrisisline.net. And that's in a suicide crisis. Eligible veterans can go to any ER for free. Nearly 50,000 already have. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming like Weekly Reveille either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, and that's at sunsounds.org. Or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store, or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Well, we have one more item from MilitaryTimes.com. VA reduces improper payments for private health care by 98% since 2020. GAO finds. This is from the 22nd of July. The Department of Veterans Affairs has slashed improper payments to private companies that provide medical care to veterans by 98%, reducing the amount from $7.5 billion to $608 million in 5 years, according to data provided by government auditors by the VA. In a report released Tuesday, Government Accountability Office analysts said that, although the VA outlays for the community care program have risen from $9.5 billion in 2020 to $25 billion in 2025, the amount of improper payments have been reduced each year from 78% of the total in 2020 to 2.4% in 2025. The GAO said improper payments occur when the VA reimburses contractors that manage community care for outdated claims, incorrect reimbursement rates, or payment amounts or bills that exceed authorized care. Sometimes the improper payments may be related to fraud, the GAO added, noting that as recently as February 2026, a home health care company submitted fraudulent claims for community care for $100,000 in services that were never provided. In another case, a provider agreed to pay $3.7 million to resolve charges that it fraudulently billed the VA for services that were not medically necessary. The VA has worked to reduce improper payments and fraud risks, the GAO noted, by developing and implementing processes for identifying problems and assessing the root causes of improper payments. The department developed and implemented corrective actions to address these issues, the analyst said. The VA has not, however, conducted a fraud risk assessment that identifies inherent risks, assesses the likelihood of fraud, and determines its risk tolerance. GA auditors recommended the VA create a fraud risk framework and implement it. While VA has taken steps to identify and assess fraud risks, these efforts do not meet the key elements of a fraud risk assessment and have not resulted in comprehensive fraud risk assessment for the program, leaving it vulnerable to fraud, the report stated. VA officials told the GAO that they were able to reduce improper payments in community care because they addressed the broader system and policy issues, such as payment processing errors and eligibility problems that followed the development of the nationwide program established in 2018 by the Mission Act. VA officials said they would further address any issues that may contribute to improper payments in the next round of contracts for community care, which are expected to be awarded this year. VA officials concurred with the GAO's recommendation to create a fraud risk framework, saying the department would establish oversight during its ongoing reorganization of the Veterans Health Administration, with the effort to be completed by March 2028. The GAO also looked at improper payments by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to the companies that manage Medicare Advantage plans. Analysts found that in 2025, CMS paid roughly $23.7 billion in improper payments, up from $16.3 billion in 2020. And that's VA reduces improper payments for private health care by 98% since 2020, GAO finds. We're going to turn now to the American Legion magazine for August, and we have this item in memoriam. Diane Carlson Evans, Army nurse-led fight for Vietnam Women's Memorial. Years of challenges and setbacks, including outright rejection by the Commission of Fine Arts and some lawmakers who dismissed the very idea of a Vietnam Women's Memorial on the National Mall in Washington, came down to a final hearing before the U.S. Department of the Interior. Vietnam War combat nurse Diane Carlson Evans had prepared a 10-page speech, but when given a chance to make her case, she set it aside and spoke from the heart. Our wall of names would be much higher and much wider without the contribution of these very brave women, she said. They deserve to stand on the grounds of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in near proximity to the wall. A unanimous vote was required to finally turn her vision into reality. I sat down. The place went quiet. They took the vote. It was unanimous. A decade of more than 30, often contentious hearings that drew national media attention came to a crescendo in 1993 when the Vietnam Women's Memorial was dedicated on the Mall. Her battle had ended in a victory that has inspired generations of women who've served in the U.S. Armed Forces. In the years that followed, Carlson Evans became a national figure in advocacy for women veterans. On May 20th, she died at 79 after a long and courageous battle against cancer. She was a member of Lewis and Clark Post in Helena, Montana. Throughout her journey to shepherd the memorial into existence, Carlson Evans credited the American Legion for its unwavering support. The first step was a resolution passed at her local post in River Falls, Wisconsin. That resolution moved up through district and department channels before it was adopted in October 1985 by the National Executive Committee. With the Legion's support, she moved forward in the establishment of a foundation and a strategic plan to raise the funds needed to build a memorial. She told the story of the effort and her experiences in and after the war in her 2020 autobiography, Healing Wounds, A Vietnam War Combat Nurse's 10-Year Fight to Win Women a Place of Honor in Washington, D.C. She served on the Legion's 100th Anniversary Honorary Committee and received the Patriot Award in 2018 and the organization's most prestigious honor, the Distinguished Service Medal, in 2021. In 2025, past National Commander Denise Rohan accepted the Presidential Citizens Medal from President Joe Biden in the White House on behalf of Carlson Evans, who was unable to travel due to her health, but issued a statement that made it clear to whom she believed the honor belongs. I accept the PCM on behalf of and for my sister veterans, who richly deserved this recognition by the President of the United States, to the thousands of enlisted women, officers, and women of all military occupational specialties serving in the combat theater and all around the world, all worthy of remembrance and honor for believing we could make a difference serving our country. This article is by Jeff Stauffer. In memoriam, Diane Carlson Evans, Army nurse, led fight for Vietnam Women's Memorial. Well, let's turn now to the Veterans Administration. We have some announcements of events here in Arizona. The first one is today, July 30th, 2026, in Ganado, Arizona, Veterans Services event, the Ganado Chapter House. This is from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mountain Time. So depending on when you're listening to this program, you may be able to get it. Veterans, their families, and caregivers are invited to attend a Veterans Services event on July 30th from 9 to 3 p.m. at the Ganado Chapter House in Ganado, Arizona. They will have enrollment assistance for VA health benefits, VA service connection and pension claim support, on-site VHA medical services for enrolled veterans, information on VA and community programs, referrals for VHA medical services. Veterans are encouraged to bring a copy of their DD-214 and any relevant medical documentation to assist with claims and enrollment. For more information, please contact Joshua Ware. His number, 928-458-8713. And that's a Veterans Services event, the Ganado Chapter House. Next, we have a Casa Grande CBOC Veteran Engagement and Resource Fair. That will be tomorrow, July 31st, Casa Grande, Arizona, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And this is to inform veterans or family members and caregivers about VA healthcare eligibility and other VA services and resources. And the location for that is 111 East 2nd Street in Casa Grande. And that's the Casa Grande CBOC Veteran Engagement and Resource Fair. Next, we have a Veterans Service event at the Hopi Healthcare Center. This will be on the 4th of August in Polaca, Arizona, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Veterans, families, and caregivers are invited to attend this special Veterans Services event, and it will include enrollment assistance for VA health benefits, VA service connection and pension claim support, on-site VHA medical services for enrolled veterans, information on VA and community programs, referrals for VHA medical services. Veterans are encouraged to bring a copy of their DD-214 and any relevant medical documentation to assist with claims and enrollment. And for more information, you can contact Andrew Taylor. His number, 928-237-8310. That'll be at the Hopi Health Care Center in Polaca, Arizona, a Veterans Services event on the 4th of August. Then we have a Veterans Services event, the Village of Tiwa Community Center. This will be on the 5th of August in Polaca, Arizona. Veterans, their families, and caregivers are invited to attend this special Veterans Services event. And again, enrollment assistance, VA service connection and pension claims support, on-site VHA medical services for enrolled veterans, information on VA and community programs, referrals for VHA medical services. Veterans, again, are encouraged to bring a copy of their DD-214 and any relevant medical documentation to assist with claims and enrollment. Andrew Taylor, again, is the point of contact at 928-237-8310. This is at the Village of Tiwa Community Center, a Veterans Services event. And finally, we have a Veterans Services event at Jadikio Chapter House. This is in Keams Canyon, Arizona, on the 6th of August. It runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time and has the same available services for veterans, families, and caregivers. There will be enrollment assistance for VA health benefits, VA service connection and pension claim support, on-site VHA medical services for enrolled veterans, information on VA and community programs, and referrals for VHA medical services. Veterans should bring a copy of their DD-214 and any relevant medical documentation. And again, the point of contact, Andrew Taylor, 928-237-8310. That's at the Jadikio Chapter House in Keams Canyon, Arizona, on August the 6th. Next from the VA, we have news from the news.va.gov website. And our first article, Ambient Scribe Reimagines the VA Clinic Experience. This is from the 29th of July by Stacy Rivera, Communications Specialist at the Digital Health Office. VA's Ambient Scribe puts veterans at the center of every visit. Veteran John Brennan left a recent VA clinic appointment feeling something she'd not always expected, truly heard, and confident. Credit goes in part to Ambient Scribe, an artificial intelligence, or AI-enabled technology that captures natural patient-provider dialogue and generates progress notes in real time. VHA is now using Ambient Scribe to support a more meaningful patient-provider interaction, while also reducing administrative burden, improving documentation quality, and enhancing productivity. For veterans like Brennan, the use of Ambient Scribe means that providers are more present, patients feel heard, and clinical documentation is done faster and more accurately. I recently had a primary care appointment with Dr. Lorena Cubas Rosado at the Lake Nona VA, where Ambient Scribe was used during my visit. I have to say the experience is noticeably different in the best way, Brennan said. Instead of my provider having to divide her attention between our conversation and entering information into a computer, she was able to stay fully engaged with me throughout the appointment. It felt like I had her complete attention, which made the conversation more comfortable, open, and productive. That experience is now available to veterans across the country. As of June 2026, VHA has deployed Ambient Scribe to all VA patient-aligned care team, or PACT, primary care providers, including physicians, physicians' assistants, and advanced practice nurses, after a phased rollout that began at 10 VA medical centers, Dallas, Texas, East Orange, New Jersey, Erie, Pennsylvania, Kansas City, Missouri, Loma Linda, California, Marion, Illinois, Miami, Florida, Prescott, Arizona, San Francisco, and Wilmington, Delaware. With a veteran's verbal consent, the use of Ambient Scribe gives VA healthcare providers the time to make their connection and conversation the focus of the visit. With Ambient Scribe, primary care visits are becoming more personal, efficient, and fulfilling for everyone involved. How it works. With a veteran's verbal consent, Ambient Scribe processes the conversation to generate draft documentation. Notes generated by Ambient Scribe are accessed, reviewed, and edited by providers to ensure accuracy and completeness before being signed into the veteran's electronic health record, or EHR. The provider retains full clinical judgment and decision-making authority throughout the process. Veterans can opt out at any time, even mid-visit, and their information is protected under the same strict privacy and security standards as all other VA health records, including full compliance with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, freeing providers to focus on veterans. For providers, administrative burdens have long intruded on personal attention paid to patients. Ambient Scribe changes that equation. Providers using the technology report that it creates clearer and more comprehensive medical documentation, reduces after-hours charting, lowers cognitive load, and improves accuracy in coding and risk adjustment. With Ambient Scribe acting as a documentation assistant, it creates fuller and clearer clinical notes for providers to review and add in the veteran's health record, giving the whole care team a more complete picture of the veteran's needs. This broader record improves communication amongst providers, creating safer, higher quality care for veterans. Brennan also acknowledges the impact of Ambient Scribe on providers, saying, "It's an excellent example of technology being used the right way to support providers while improving the experience for veterans." What's next? VA plans to expand Ambient AI Scribe to select outpatient specialty care providers in summer 2026, with an enterprise contract extension anticipated in late 2026. Veterans should ask their primary care provider about Ambient AI Scribe. To learn more, they have provided a video, and you can see that at the VA and going to news.va.gov and looking for health. And you can learn more about VA's innovative efforts in AI solutions. That's Ambient Scribe reimagines the VA clinic experience. Now we have Women Veterans Find Community and Renewal at Retreat. And this is from the 28th of July by Amanda Bachko, Public Affairs Specialist at the Toma VA Medical Center. A day of connection, creativity, and mindful practices. Women veterans from every branch of the service gathered at the Toma VA Medical Center on May the 1st, 2026, for the Women Veterans Retreat. As each woman arrived, she was welcomed by warm smiles that quickly sparked a sense of camaraderie. Though many were meeting for the first time, their shared experiences formed an immediate bond. Finding connection through shared experiences. The retreat's activities, organized through a collaboration between the Women's Health Program and Whole Health, were arranged into small group stations. At one station, rows of delicate teacups were ready to become miniature succulent gardens. Whole Health coach Sarah Krieger lightened the mood with a playful introduction. "Chicks and hens are part of this station, the succulent kind, not the feathered kind." Her warm humor made the group laugh and opened the door for participants to introduce themselves and share the branch of service they represented. Other stations offered yoga and tai chi, inviting slow, steady movement and harmony with the peaceful environment. Participants learned how these practices support grounding, calmness, and mental clarity, offering tools they could carry beyond the retreat. After the morning activities, everyone gathered in a veterans hall for a luncheon. It was a quiet moment to reflect on the day, connect with one another, and enjoy a shared meal. The retreat concluded with a cooking demonstration featuring healthy recipes. Many participants left feeling relaxed, uplifted, and connected. Whether through a creative expression, mindful movement, or meaningful conversation, the retreat provided a welcome space for women veterans to unwind and to feel the strength of the community around them. And that's Women Veterans Find Community and Renewal at Retreat. Our next article, VA Home Loan First-Time Homebuyer Benefits, is from the 28th of July by Lawrence Smith, the VA Loan Guarantee Service Communications. Buying your first home can be scary, but everyone who's ever bought a home was once a first-time buyer. The right time to begin your home buying journey isn't about timing the market, but about determining when you're ready. For veterans, that right time can vary widely. Maybe when an active duty service member is preparing for a final permanent change of station prior to retirement, or choosing to move closer to family later in life. At any stage, it's never too early or too late to become a first-time homebuyer using the VA Guaranteed Home Loan Benefit. The VA Guaranteed Home Loan offers numerous benefits, and VA has an entire home buying section at va.gov that can walk veterans through the benefits, the process, and potential challenges. This article focuses on the additional benefits beyond the VA guaranteed home loan itself that can help a veteran make informed decisions about starting the home buying process. That webpage, by the way, is benefits.va.gov/homeloans, one word. Mortgage interest deductions. Did you know that mortgage interest can be deducted at tax time? Homeowners can reduce their taxable income by the amount of interest paid on a qualifying home loan, which is typically their primary residence. This can save veterans thousands of dollars when filing their tax returns. The mortgage interest deduction is not available to renters or for vacation or income-producing properties that the veteran does not use as a primary home. Property tax exemptions for disabled veterans. Veterans with service-connected disabilities can qualify for a property tax exemption in many states. While most require a 100% permanent and total disability rating, some states have recently expanded eligibility to include lower disability ratings so more veterans have the opportunity to reduce their property taxes. And by the way, Arizona is one of those states. You need to go to az.gov to look for the particulars of that program. For instance, in Illinois, veterans with a 50% service-connected disability rating can receive a $2,500 homestead property tax exemption. At 70%, the exemption increases to $5,000, and veterans rated 100% disabled may qualify for a full property tax exemption. Illinois also provides a $5,000 reduction for veterans returning from active duty in an armed conflict. You can check your state Veteran Affairs Office for specific tax breaks and discounts. This site also offers a general breakdown of property tax exemptions by states, and that's at veteran.com/property-tax-exemptions-state. State assistance for first-time homebuyers. Many states offer grants, resources, and assistance for first-time homebuyers, especially veterans. These can be nonprofits, local organizations that offer financial assistance for basic housing stability needs, or state agencies that can help cover closing costs or down payment grants for buyers in rural areas. VA has grant funding for certain service-connected veterans who qualify for the specially adapted housing, SAH, or special home adaptation, SHA, program, which helps veterans build, remodel, or buy an adapted home to help them live more independently. You can find out about that at www.va.gov/housing-assistance/disability-housing-grants. Which helps veterans build, remodel, or buy an adapted home to help them live more independently. Check with your state's Housing Development Authority on specific programs or contact VA to find out more about the SAH and SHA programs. There are many resources available from federal, state, and local governments as well as nonprofit organizations to help veterans who are first-time homebuyers both at the time of purchase and over the life of their loan. Whether through savings at tax time with a mortgage interest reduction, property tax exemption, or financial assistance for first-time homebuyers, these tools combined with the VA guaranteed home loan benefit can offer veterans affordability, stability, and peace of mind. The VA Home Loan Program staff are here to assist you. Then they list a number of helpful links. There's online resources and videos on YouTube. And again, you can access those by going to news.va.gov and look for benefits. That article was VA Home Loan First-Time Home Buyer Benefits. Our final item from the 29th of July. Sometimes support starts with one conversation. Face the Fight writes this article from the 29th of July. When Thomas left the military, he wasn't looking for mental health services. He was looking for help paying his bills. Like many veterans transitioning to civilian life, his financial stress was overwhelming. He turned to Support the Enlisted Project, or STEP, STEP, a Face the Fight funded organization, hoping to stabilize his finances. What he found was something even more valuable: connection, support, and a plan for navigating life's toughest moments. By the way, that website is www.teamstepusa, all one word, teamstepusa.org. Face the Fight is a national initiative funded by USAA, Reach Resilience, and the Humana Foundation. It brings together more than 300 organizations to help prevent veteran suicide by expanding access to proven support, reducing stigma, and strengthening community connection. Support starts in unexpected places. As Thomas worked with STEP, a STEP social worker, he was introduced to a crisis response plan. This personalized plan helps people recognize warning signs, identify trusted sources of support, and prepare for difficult moments before they become emergencies. Thomas later described it simply as a plan to keep me grounded when I'm feeling stressed. 30 days later, he reported meaningful progress and renewed hope for the future. Stories like Thomas's remind us that help often begins long before someone reaches a crisis. Financial challenges, relationship changes, health concerns, and the transition from military to civilian life can all affect well-being. Meeting veterans where they are and helping them connect with practical resources can make all the difference. Progress that reaches veterans earlier. Thomas's story is one of many featured in the 2025 Face the Fight Impact Report, which highlights how proven partnerships are helping more veterans find support earlier. Since 2023, Face the Fight and its coalition of more than 300 organizations have impacted more than 1.4 million lives, supported more than 1 million suicide risk screenings, helped more than 110,000 veterans receive suicide-specific care, and facilitated more than 250,000 lethal means safety conversations that help create time and space during moments of crisis. The Department of Veterans Affairs has long recognized that prevention starts with connection. Face the Fight supports that work by investing in evidence-informed programs that help veterans find support earlier and strengthen the communities that stand beside them. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for Sometimes Support Starts with One Conversation. And you can find that article on news.va.gov and search for hashtag vet resources or search for vets experience. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this week's edition of Weekly Reveille and remind you that you can listen to Weekly Reveille at a time of your choosing or as it streams by going to sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, or downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store or from the Google Play Store. And you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.